We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Talk some Bucks here with Matt Velasquez momentarily. Coming up this hour, one of our favorite segments, Five for Freems, in which I will ask you what I think is the most clever, thoughtful, and intriguing Five for Freems question I've ever come up with.
Okay.
We'll do that in about 20 minutes.
All right, player.
I'm very proud of myself.
How'd you think of it?
Just being great.
Well, I mean, okay.
Just walking around the house being great.
Okay, now you set the bar high on this one.
I know.
We'll see.
And I will jump over that bar.
Okay.
So that's coming up. 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk some NBA with James Herbert, CBS Sports. We will hear from Ryan Braun. Tim Allen got to catch up with him. And then we'll check in with our guys in Arizona with Billy Schmidt next hour, too. So Bucks, Brewers, some Packers trickled in there as well. We've got you covered, as we always do, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. One of the guys helping us cover the Bucks writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find him, jsonline.com. It's Matt Velasquez, beat writer for the Bucks. He joins us. Matt, good morning.
Hi, Matt.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good to have you aboard here. The other night against New Orleans, you know, we saw previous couple of nights before that looked like a tired team that was struggling out there a little bit. But, I mean, two nights ago, coming out in New Orleans, and they overcame some struggles in the first couple of quarters in that game. Man, I'll tell you, just looking at Mike Budenholzer on the sidelines, I don't know if he noticed this, but, man, this guy, he felt like he was coaching in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. The expressions on his face, the way he was pacing, sweating on there. And the score was only 15-10. His team was down. But, man, he had the constipated look on his face.
Yeah, no, I saw that, and he was very much not happy. The defense really wasn't where it needed to be. You know, guys were, just not in the right spots and not getting back when they needed to. And, you know, he laid into them pretty good at the end of the first quarter, and they responded. And, you know, they appreciate having a coach that will do that from time to time. And, you know, that's what they needed, and it worked out for them.
I am surprised that we're seeing Giannis especially, Middleton, Bledsoe, Brogdon. I mean, they've sat a little bit. I'm surprised we've seen them play as much as we did. I think the Spurs game, I figured some of those guys would sit with the daylight savings time and the travel. Are we going to see these guys sit more, or are they going to try to stay fresh and be out there more? Do we have any indication on what that plan might be?
Yeah, I asked Mike Budenholzer about that the other day, that as the season goes on, do you try and rest some guys? He was like, maybe, we'll see. We'll try and plan it out. But, they're not too too worried about it right now. They obviously still have the one seed to play for and something that they do want. I mean, obviously there is an advantage to getting that one seed, and if you can get it, you should get it. But right now, I think they'll look into it more as they get closer to the end of the season, maybe as they look to lock up that one seed. But as of right now, if guys are healthy, I think they've managed their minutes so well throughout the year that they're not as run down as they might have been otherwise.
I was telling you before the All-Star break that I thought some of these guys needed like about a week off. They look very tired going into the All-Star break, even though they won their final game at Indiana before the break. But they look a little tired. Do you notice anybody? I mean, it sounds like you feel like they're all pretty fresh. Is there anybody on a team that looks like they could use some rest?
I mean, I think that while I believe that they're fresh and healthy enough to play, I think the road trips have started to wear on them a little bit. I mean, on Friday when they play the Heat, that'll be their, that'll be 30 games on the road, 21 games on the road out of 30 since their six-game homestand after Christmas. And if you want to tighten that up a little bit, they've played 17 of their last 25 on the road right now. That'll be 18 out of 26 on Friday. And, you know, Chris Middleton even said that, hey, you know, the road is starting to catch up to them, but they're going to keep fighting through it. I mean, they've still got a really good record. I mean, when you look at the 29 games they've played since that six-game homestand, with 20 of them being on the road, they've been 15-5 in those road games, which is, you know, a fantastic record. So, you know, they're fresh in terms of health. I think everybody at this point in the season has some bumps and bruises, but you know, I think they're all excited to get back home.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, you can follow him on Twitter, Matt_Velasquez. Matt Velasquez, worth the Journal Sentinel, of course. It seems like the absence of George Hill is maybe a bigger one than I thought it might be. When they made that trade, I'm thinking, okay, salary cap dump. You know, George Hill, maybe he could get dealt at the deadline even. We'll find out. But he's been really good on defense, and without him, Matt, they look like they, you know, miss an assignment or two or struggle a little bit without him.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right on that. You know, when you look at what he brings, it's very understated. It's very subtle, but his defense and his consistency, you know, have been, you know, really big for them. I think Pat Connaughton's gotten a lot of his minutes, and he can definitely, you know, do some things on offense and make some high flying plays on defense. But he also, you know, he leaves his feet a lot, and he doesn't always keep his defender in front of him or his the offensive guy in front of him, you know, and that can open up some problems. And I think George Hill's a lot more steady, a lot more reliable, isn't as susceptible to try to go for those blocks. He fits well within the scheme, and you know, it'll be big when he gets back for them to have just that true backup point guard, maybe alleviate some of the pressure off of Malcolm Brogdon to, you know, to kind of be that bridge between the first and second unit. Now you can kind of give that second unit a little bit more to George Hill and let him run the team on both ends, especially, you know, anchoring things at the front of the defense.
I like here in the season, especially the second part when they're playing one of the contenders in the Eastern Conference. They played the Celtics a couple of weeks ago, Pacers, and now they got the Sixers coming in. Like, man, I can't remember the last time they even played the Sixers, but, man, it seems like it's been a while. And I want to see the Sixers at full strength. Hopefully Embiid's in there. He looked great the other night. And give the Bucks a little test at home on national TV against the Sixers on Sunday.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I'm excited for it. I think the last time they played the Sixers was, like, one of the first, like, 10 games of the season. So, you know, the Bucks look a lot different. The Sixers look a lot different. These are two teams that are, you know, really exciting come playoff time. And so, you know, that matchup will be one that I think the Bucks are definitely going to, you know, be up for and really want to get. They've already won that first game of the series, though. Like I said, they're very different now. But to be able to go up 2-1, it's only a three-game series during the regular season for these teams. So to be able to go up 2-1 and handle both games on your home court would be big for Milwaukee.
There's been a lot of talk around the NBA based on that Adam Silver interview with Bill Simmons about how some of these guys are unhappy. And I think it was Charles Barkley that was talking about how, you know, on the planes they used to just, like, that's where you would bond, and on the bus rides you'd bond, and these guys are not as connected with each other because of phones and the internet and social media as they used to be. But I do think that this Bucks team is connected. We've heard the stories, we've seen your stories where these guys do come along. I mean, I know these guys, you know, you get to the locker room, you check your phone, whatever. But how much of a role do you think that chemistry and the way the guys feel about each other off the court, how much of that, I don't know how many wins is it worth, but how much of that is attributing how good they have been this season?
Yeah, I think the chemistry's helped. I think that in talking to, you know, a bunch of guys in the locker room and being in the locker room, like, you see a team where guys, you know, they get along. Like, they have fun together. You know, on San Antonio, at San Antonio the other night, you know, they lost the game, but, you know, the locker room, they're all talking about the bat. You know, they're
yeah,
kind of laughing, and they're like, hey, Brooke, like, what about you? Saying you would, like, run to the bat. He's like, hey, I stood my ground. And they're all laughing, and, you know, Bledsoe's asking me, you know, what's the Spurs record when the bat comes out, and they're all kind of laughing and joking about that. And, you know, like, sure, it was a loss, but, like, you know, they're not taking it, like, you know, so hard. You know, they know that they tried their best out there and that they had the tough situation. But I think, you know, and, you know, Middleton, in words I can't use on the radio, he said there's no bad guys in the locker room. You know, and if there are, you know, then then they kind of smoke it out and they deal with it among themselves. And, you know, they have that trust and rapport with each other that they can do that, and they can call people out, and they can fix problems before they can become problems. And I think that means something, you know, when you just have that trust and that good bond. I mean, they have a lot of team dinners together and go out together. I'm sure that what Adam Silver was saying, you know, the Bucks are not immune to all of that. I'm sure there are issues with that. I know Laurie Nicol wrote a story last year, you know, about Tony Snell, where he kind of bemoaned, like, he has like a BlackBerry. He doesn't even have like a smartphone. And he's like, oh yeah, guys are always just looking at their phones all the time. You know, and like that's true. That is a thing that happens. But I think the Bucks at least have a strong enough connection and chemistry that's helped them get to this point.
How close were you to the bat?
Luckily, not close. I would not have done the Brook Lopez. That would have been more Eric Bledsoe in that situation.
Yeah, we buried the lead there.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have asked you, because I saw some of the media guys like in the front row there with Paschke and Marcus Johnson. I didn't see you. I didn't know if you were near them where the bat took its initial dive.
They had me up in like the middle of the seats, kind of like where the seats used to be in the Bradley Center, where I used to sit. Similar to that, you know. But I saw the bat kind of circling around, you know, above me, and I was like, and when I walked out of the AT&T Center, I heard a bunch of like chirping type sounds that weren't from the ground. They seemed like they were from the trees, and I was like, I need to get in my Uber like right now.
Yeah, that's just creepy.
I'm done with this.
Yeah, that's not good.
So do they try to get rid of it? Just because the coyote was in the Batman costume right away.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how fast the coyote was ready. I mean, that was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, at least for me, I saw the bat kind of circling around the Jumbotron a little bit, and eventually it just goes away, and you just keep watching the basketball game and hoping.
Weird.
I don't think the bat's trying to bother us. I think it's just lost.
I mean, you would think an NBA team. Come on, get rid of the bat problem. There's people who can fix that thing.
You would think so.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've tried. I would like to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's happened like three times this season.
Unreal.
So, I don't know. You know, the guys in the locker room, they were kind of joking. Like, they're like, I don't know. Maybe this is intentional. Like, they're undefeated when the bat shows up. Maybe they let the bat out.
That is a good point.
Kind of throwing out some conspiracy theories and having fun with it. You know, and then that's all you can really do.
Matt, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. We thank you for your time, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Matt Velasquez joining us today. Normally Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. Make sure you're tuned in for him. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll have more on the Bucks tomorrow. Eric Name of The Athletic, 835.
Bucks and Sixers on a Sunday afternoon on national TV. Other than a playoff game, I don't remember the last time that's happened. I mean, I don't remember a regular season game on
ABC.
On ABC. You know, regular ABC, a game of the week.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
either.
Back when CBS and NBC used to show games of the week on a Sunday afternoon, Bucks and Sixers and Bucks and Celtics run all the time. But man, it's been a while, I feel, since they've been on network TV, non-cable, during the regular season.
I've got what I think is the best five for frames question I've ever come up with next, when we've got five questions for Chuck here, and you guys can play along. One quick bonus, what do you think it solved first? The San Antonio bat or the Bucks reinstalling their 1-inch thick cup holders that they've got at Fiserv Forum? You sit down there yet? These cup holders are an inch thick.
No, I haven't. See, I've been I go up to that.
You get your $10 beer, you sit down, and it falls over.
So there is cup holders or there isn't?
There are cup holders, but they're
made them bad?
Like make a palm.
Okay, so they made them bad. They don't no yeah. depth to them?
No, make a palm
so it's
and
easy
then
to
put
knock
your cup
over.
In it and then
okay. Yeah. Not like Miller Park?
No.
Okay.
Or any other arena or cup holder in the history of mankind.
So that's where they failed at Fiserv with the cup holders.
Yeah, tear it down. Rebuild the Bradley Center.
Put new cup holders. So
we missed the Bradley Center so much, you might as well rebuild it.
So why didn't they I don't miss it. Who misses the Bradley Center?
How come every time I look at the internet, it's, what's your favorite Bradley Center memory?
I don't see any of that. I look at that thing, I say, good riddance, man.
Yeah, I say, give me a shovel.
No. I just say, get rid of it.
It's Chuck and Winkler.
How come it's not down yet?
Up by Perkins, where you can get $9.99 burger combos, burger, fries, and a slice of pie for under $10. So you get the burger And when I'm talking burgers, guys, I am talking. I'm looking at them right now, so I will describe to you best I can. That's how this audio platform works. The burger's thick and juicy, and then it's piled high with all the fixings. So you want the SoCal burger? Think of that thick patty. Slap some tomatoes on there, some onions, some pickles.
Mayonnaise.
Some lettuce. You can throw mayonnaise on there if you want. Pepper jack cheese. And try to fit it in your mouth. It's huge. The breakfast burger, all right, think of a patty. Throw on some hash browns, bacon, cheese, fried egg. That's a big burger. And then you get fries, and then you get a slice of pie, and you get it all for $9.99. It's available at Perkins all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. $9.99 burger combos available now. It is one of the best questions, if not the best Five for Frames question I will ever have for you, and it's related to our boy, Jimmy Nelson, and it comes up next.
It's time to go inside the mind of Chuck Freeman.
Ugh, it's gross.
That's a scary thought. It's time for Five for Freeman. Five burning questions for Chuck Freeman. This is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, Five for Frames. And you guys may be surprised by this, but I'm very high on myself today. I think I did a fantastic job coming up with some of these questions, especially the one I'll get to at question number five regarding the Brewers. But I've got four other dynamite ones for you before we get to number five. Are you ready, Sir Freeman?
What do you got, player?
Question number one. Some big moves in the NFL this last week. Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns. Antonio Brown to the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets. So, Chuck, who will have the most statistical success on his new team?
Tony, did you ever see this new gambling show that's on ESPN?
There's one on Fox with Clay Travis I've seen, and Clay Travis is actually like human garbage come to life. So I've only seen that once. As far as ESPN, no, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, there's a new one. And they were doing like the over and under. And I guess the over and under for how many yards Le'Veon Bell would have the Jets is like 1,050.
Hmm.
I would say, man, that seems like an easy
combined
over.
Combined or rushing?
Or just rushing.
Okay.
1,050.
Because all-purpose yards, he's one of the best.
Oh, yeah, but they were just doing rushing. That was like, I thought that was an easy over. Although, you know, like they, when they went to their best bets and all that yesterday, a guy took a college basketball seat. Oh, Texas Corpus Christi, they're a surefire. They're going to win tonight easily. They got beat by 20. So just go the opposite of those guys in that show. But on this, who's going to have the most impact?
Yeah, statistically.
I'm going to say I think Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. I'm going to stick with Bell.
I think Brown will have a nice year. I think Beckham will get his normal 90 catches, but I'm with you. I think Le'Veon Bell with the Jets, you know, he's kind of forgotten about. People think that he won't be as sharp as he was.
Fresh legs.
I think that they're going to use him out of the backfield quite a bit.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like Pittsburgh did. So as long as he stayed in shape, but he's got time to get back into it. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I think Antonio Brown. We've seen the last of him.
No, I disagree. I think they will all have good years.
No, see, I think Brown, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to have a bad year, but he's not going to have as good a year as the other two guys.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think he's going to have a good a year as the other two.
That's fine. Question number two. Shifting to the Packers. Which of these free agents will have the biggest impact on defense? Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, or Adrian Amos?
I'm going to take a long shot and say Amos.
Yeah?
Yeah. I really like that signing for some reason. The amount they signed him for, coming over here from Chicago's defense, I think so. I think I'm going to like this signing. I'm going to take the long shot there with Amos. He would
all
be,
right.
If you were to lay odds on all three of those guys, I think Za'Darius would probably be number one. Preston would be number two. Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith. I'd say Za'Darius in one, Preston Smith two. And then Amos would be three. But I'm going to take Amos.
You know, I'd like the Packers to sign is former Vikings safety Andrew Sedejo. so that we can make Amos and Andy jokes.
Oh, okay.
Is that a reference anyone gets?
Some people looked at that as kind of a that
Amos
show
and
back
Andy.
Then. If they would never be able to do that show today.
Amos I barely Andy? Even know what it is.
Yeah, it was a show.
Is
from
it
the
like
50s.
The Smothers Brothers got kind
nah.
of guys?
No, I mean, it was before my time, too, but, had some racial overtones, from what I understand.
A show in the 50s had racial overtones?
No kidding.
Oh, God, I looked it up, and the first picture, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to make a reference to that.
No. Moving on.
Yeah.
Question number three. It's going to be 60 degrees today, Chuck.
Warm.
A little overcast, but 60 degrees.
Maybe some rain.
Now, I've been wearing this Bucks winter stocking cap for months. So what's more acceptable to pull off today? A winter hat or shorts?
I'm going to say shorts. I'm going to see some people bust out shorts. Some people wear shorts year-round, which I just don't get. But I'm going to say shorts. Shorts is the way to go. Unless you haven't showered, washed the hair, then the hat is always a good option. But I'm going to say, we're going to see people around town wearing shorts today. I think more people wearing shorts than caps.
I'm going to tell you something about my wife, who you've never met. She, one of her biggest pet peeves, if not the biggest, is when people get too excited about the weather. Like, it's not going to be 60 forever, so it's not short season yet. There will be guys running around shirtless today. There will be women that try to wear
shirtless too. Where?
Bradford Beach is a nude beach, isn't it?
Thought that was Mazzomani and Madison. They had that.
I walked around naked at Bradford Beach and nobody stopped me.
Really?
Yeah.
What? The private end?
I just playing volleyball.
Heard there's rumblings. They're going to make it a nude beach.
I'm trying.
You've already done it. Okay.
But she hates when because then it's going to be cold again. Like if there's a 60-degree day in the middle of February and all of a sudden everyone's in shorts. It's not shorts weather yet. Just because it's one day doesn't mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we always fight about that because I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, we get days like this in March. We'll get a 60 or 70-degree day and it plunges right back to 35 or 30. But today's going to feel like 90. Well, although it's going to rain a little bit. But I'm sure some golf courses are open today.
Question number four, speaking of golf, you've got three kids, all boys. One is going to be a golfer.
Mm-hmm.
One wants to be a pitcher in the major leagues, and the other wants to be an offensive lineman in football. And they're all the right size and everything's fine. Now, you can only afford coaching for two of them. So what kid would you rather learn on their own how to do that respective thing? Basically, which is the easiest to learn on your own? One kid wants to be a golfer, one wants to be a pitcher, and one wants to be an offensive lineman.
Well, first of all, obviously they all need coaching, but I think the toughest one is golf.
So he cannot learn on himself, like I'm trying to do.
Well, there's a couple golfers on the tour who are that way.
Our friend Pat over at Perkins taught himself how to golf. You saw how good he was at Tuckaway.
Yeah. Bubba, self-taught, never had a lesson. Bubba Watson.
It can be done.
Although, like my first couple of years, I think I needed a couple of lessons because I wasn't taking good divots.
It's something I'm bad at.
Yeah, I think you need to take a divot. I learned that one from a golf pro. I think so. My buddy Mike Vance, I learned a lot from him. I took my game an extra step with him. So I would think golf. I think golf is the one sport, too, of all everything where you see the worst fundamentals.
All right, you can still afford one more coach. So do you give it to your kid to become an offensive lineman? He needs to know that technique, a lot of footwork.
Yeah.
Or a pitcher?
Probably a pitcher.
You're going to give the pitcher a coach?
Yeah.
And then your fat son can figure it out on his own?
The 6'4", 290-pound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stand there and use your arm.
Fanny learns on his own?
Just get in front of somebody.
Okay.
Get in front of somebody.
All right.
Yeah.
I bring up that question because it leads me to what I think is the greatest question that I have ever come up with in the history of Five for Frames.
Okay.
Chase Anderson is trying to reteach himself how to pitch. He watched video of guys in the offseason.
Not going well.
like Nolan Ryan. He got lit up yesterday. So here's my question. And I put the poll up yesterday, and I'll tell you the results, too. What will come first? The final start that Chase Anderson ever makes as a Brewer, or the next start that Jimmy Nelson ever makes as a Brewer?
I got to tell you, player, I knew this was coming because I didn't know initially this one was coming until you mentioned Chase Anderson because I saw it on Twitter last night.
That's fine. So you've had time to think about it.
I will say...
Let me just say it again because I'm so proud of this question.
Okay.
I really think it's very good. What will come first? Chase Anderson's final start that he makes as a Brewer or the next start that Jimmy Nelson makes as a Brewer?
I don't think Chase Anderson's ever going to make a start with the Brewers.
Really, Chase?
Mm-mm. God, there's so many guys ahead of him on the line right now. Could you trust him? I mean,
I still think Council's going to give him a start, a benefit of the doubt.
I don't know.
He's going
to. He's not earned it.
As, I know.
If he has, he has not earned it in spring training. Okay. I think, and Jimmy sounds like he's going to work out of the bullpen, but I still think Jimmy will get a start ahead of Chase. It's a good, it's a tough question.
It's a great question.
It's a 50-50-er, but I'm going to go with Jimmy making the start over Chase.
Wow.
I think Jimmy, Chase will be the first. Of the two, Chase will be the first to make an appearance in the game, I think. Out of the bullpen in a 9-2 game. But, I think Jimmy will make the first start ahead of the two. Oh, boy, Chase, I'm a little worried about him. Gave up a home run, four runs, four innings again yesterday. I'm thinking, big boy, you're in long relief right now.
Could I interest you in giving me some praise for this wonderful question?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a 50-50-er that can go either way.
Well, that's very nice of you to say.
50-50-er, but I'm going to choose the way of Jimmy Nelson on that one. Only because, here's the deal. If you had asked me this one before spring training, if you had asked me this on when the Brewers had their on deck, I would have said Chase Anderson. But given he's been so bad at spring training, geez, I can't see how you could trust a guy in a start. I mean, man. I mean, you can't be throwing away a game if Chase is out there giving up home run balls at Miller Park and putting his team into a 6-0 hole in the second inning.
We'll talk more about this coming up in the Brewers rotation. What will come first, Chase Anderson's final start as a Brewer or Jimmy Nelson's next start as a Brewer? And we'll talk some rotation. 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All the guys have, performed for me. It makes it a little more difficult, and we'll just have to keep guys getting ready, and eventually we're going to have to make a decision here on how it is. But what I know for sure is that we're going to need all these guys to start a significant number of games.
Brewer skipper Craig Counsell, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Basically, Craig Counsell has been saying the same thing over and over throughout spring training, and that's that opening day, don't get bent out of shape if one of these guys isn't on the official opening day roster. We're going to need all these guys. They'll all be a part of our rotation. They will all make starts. And none of how these guys have performed has really, neither of them have jumped out at me. He's also said he's never looked at a box score yet this spring training. I hope he starts looking at Keston Hiras, though, because he's been cranking bombs, dude. I don't know when the Brewers are going to be able to not bring him up. He'll start in AAA, but at some point you're going to have to bring up Keston Hiras if he's cranking home runs.
If there's an injury, too. If there's an injury, if Moustakas gets hurt, I don't have any problem putting him at second base. Is Hira on the 40-man right now?
Oh, God, great question.
That's the question. Is he on the 40-man roster? Because you'd have to make some room on the 40-man to bring him up.
No, I think he is. I don't know. Somebody tell us.
But Mike Moustakas right now is the everyday second baseman. But if Hira is raking down in San Antonio like he is in spring training, I got no problem bringing him up, sure.
So did want to mention that. The poll question that we put up last night, and then I asked Chuck and Five for Frames a moment ago, what will come first, Chase Anderson's last start as a Brewer or Jimmy Nelson's next start as a Brewer. 54% of you guys said Nelson's next start will come before Chase's last start. I am still very pessimistic on the chances that Jimmy Nelson does get in there to start. Craig Counsell was asked about this too. Well, what if he's not worked back up to starter mode? Would you throw him in the bullpen? He said, we don't have any plans for that at that point. Jimmy's a starter. We'll try to make him a starter again. And then Chase Anderson, you ask about him because you try not to get worked up too much about how these guys perform in spring training. But as we've said with Chase, he's been trying to work on not giving up home runs, and he is still giving up home runs. So if that's the thing you're trying to work on and that's the thing that you're still having problems with, that is a problem, right?
It is. But now here's the deal. We got seven guys vying for five spots, but still you might.
Are you including Tomlin in there?
No, I'm looking at Tomlin as maybe a guy coming out of the pen.
Because every time Counsell is asked about starting pitchers, he will say what you did. He'll say, well, we got seven guys for five. And then he'll like either remember or go out of his way, and he'll say Josh Tomlin by name. So yeah. Counsell said Josh Tomlin enough that I don't think he's going to be in the rotation, but he's still a name that we can consider. And then go ahead.
Probably a bullpen guy, maybe, or start the year AAA. But I think that with this rotation, though, I mean, the back end of the bullpen, if Jefferson's got to miss some time, if Jefferson's isn't ready, you may have to put Burns as your hard thrower, who's developed a couple more pitches, in your bullpen. I know, but being in the bullpen isn't bad anymore. I mean, the days of throwing a guy in middle relief, you know, those days aren't, that you're not, that's not garbage time anymore. That's important. So what would be so wrong with Burns being out of the bullpen?
So when they brought up Burns last year, I thought, hey, this could be your right-handed version of Hader. And, you know, he could come in, give you an out, give you three outs, give you two innings, maybe three, whatever. He's very good, very electric, okay? Whatever else to describe a pitcher. What I don't like is that they've decided he's a starter, so I want him to be a starter. If they in the offseason would have said, we like him as another bullpen guy. We've got him and Hader. Well, we can go righty-lefty with these guys. We got him and Hader. We basically have two Haders because Burns is the other one. Then I would have been fine with that. But the fact that they've made him a starter, he's developed more pitches. He's got like five pitches.
Oh, yeah, I just said that. He's got five. He developed three more pitches, yeah.
So I'm apologizing that I echoed one thing you said. But he's got like five pitches, Chuck. I want him to be a starter.
Yeah.
They've said he's going to be a starter, so make him a starter.
But go where you best need him. If you need him as a starter... Yeah, I mean, would I start Burns over Anderson or Davies, or obviously Jimmy? I mean, I mean Jimmy's. I think Counsell puts Jimmy as one of those five, seven guys, but Jimmy is out of the bullpen. I don't know, but I mean, you still need help in that bullpen. Burns was such a weapon out there, but boy, his stuff is so good. I think he's good enough to be the one or two starter on this team with the stuff that he's got.
I just don't want him to break these guys. I'm worried that they'll get broken.
I think you're not giving him enough credit. I mean, these guys aren't mentally weak. How would they break him?
With Woodruff, you see a guy who looked very good in his role in the NLDS, NLCS.
Mm-hmm.
Very good starting pitcher. If you train him all offseason to be a starting pitcher, and then you send him down to... You send him to the bullpen because that's where you need him right away. And then you're like, all right, I want him to be a starting pitcher. So then now he's got to go to San Antonio. Now he's back in the minors. And then he comes back up here to start. But then Nelson's healthy and you got to give him a chance. So then you put Woodruff back to the pen.
You're overthinking that a little bit?
I mean, I don't think so.
I think that with these, I think Counsell, though, sets the stage with these guys a little bit that they're just outgetters. I mean, he tells us this all the time, outgetters.
Right, but there's still a difference between a starter and a reliever.
Yeah, but I think banishing a guy to the bullpen, unless he's a garbage time guy, and which I think Chase is at this point, where you pitch him in a blowout game. But if you're out there getting meaningful outs in the seventh and sixth innings and the eighth innings, man, those are valuable outs, man. Valuable outs in a close game, because how many times the Brewers were playing a 2-1 or a 3-2 game and the bullpen would take over and shut a team down for the final three innings?
I just want the guys to be used to doing the same thing. I don't want them to go from the bullpen where you know you're not going to see a guy again, so you can give him whatever you want, and then make him a starter where you're going to have to go through three times the order if you're going to go six, seven innings, and you have to mix it up a little bit. I just want those guys to be consistent.
Well, I mean, once the season starts, yeah, we'll see. Did he do that with anybody? Has he done that with
guys? I feel like that's been the Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff's been bouncing around bullpen. Last year, didn't he start in the pen, and then he went down to AAA, and then he came back up, started. I mean, he was all over the place last year. Yeah, I feel like every day there was either Brandon Woodruff was at his locker or was a new guy, and then he's in the bullpen. And just I look at him as an example,
but I think
I don't want that to happen with Burns.
I think Woodruff will be one of those five guys in the rotation. I think he'll be one of those five guys. Burns, with how the heat and electric that he brings, he might be. I mean, he's obviously valuable in either spot. But man, if they need him out of the bullpen, I mean, who's going to close for these guys, or who's going to be the eighth inning guy? I think with Jeffers out of there, it raises some concern at the back end of that bullpen, and having Burns out there to take up an inning or two. Man, that would be fantastic. But, I think some of the stuff, I think Council kind of knows what he's going to do. He just hasn't told us yet.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. You guys can chime in more on this at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll talk about this and some other stuff. Next hour, we're going to go down to Arizona. Tim Allen checking in with Ryan Braun. That will come your way in a half hour, 9:20. And then we're going to check in with Bill Schmid, Bill Baby Tausch Schmid. We'll check in with him around 9:35. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock hour, we'll kind of BS with both of them for a little bit about all things Brewers, Bill and Timmy, down there in Arizona. Don't forget spring training live tonight, 6 to 8 on The Fan. Again, we are served up by Perkins. Want to tell you about Hippo Home Insurance, where they're not only going to make sure that you have the right home insurance for you, they also, like, I don't want to say don't want you to use them, but they don't want you to have the disaster. Okay, they want you to use them to prevent the disaster. And you can check out everything, how updated and modern your home insurance could be when you go to myhippo.com. You can check out all the different ways they can help disaster for prevention at myhippo.com. It's a very cool thing that they do, as they're taking home insurance, which for years has been fine, give it to me, boring, I don't want to look at it. Just give me one that my dad had or whatever. Just give me the one that, is there one that comes with the house? Whatever. It's been that. Now it's more interactive, at least with Hippo Home Insurance. Now it's more proactive as well. Here's what they do. And again, just check this out, myhippo.com. You can save up to 25%. They want to prevent these disasters. They want to prevent the problems. So they give eligible customers complimentary smart home sensors. They'll detect things like water leaks, smoke, and carbon monoxide, and they send alerts to your phone, and you get a discount for doing that. They will use the latest in AI technology to analyze, like, your aerial photography of your house. How often do you see your house from above? Never. So if there's problems with the roof or the trees or lines or anything like that, they will be able to let you know. They've got building permits that they monitor. So when you have to update your policies, if you make changes to your home, they're working for you. And that's what's really cool. So check it out, myhippo.com. Takes just 60 seconds to get a quote. And you're also going to save some money in this process. You can save up to 25%. Update it, get more protection, prevent those disasters for those eligible customers, and save up to 25%. That's myhippo.com. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that is Chuck. James Herbert will talk some Bucks with us coming up, and some NBA as we take a look at this Eastern Conference and what the playoffs might look like. We'll also hear from Ryan Braun and talk with Billy Schmid coming up next hour as well. Then the Bill Michaels Show, 10 to 2 on The Fan. Got this tweet in here from Milltown Bowling. It's a good question. If he says, if the Brewers are in need of bullpen guys, why don't they go after Craig Kimbrel? One of the best closers in the game, maybe of all time, has had a lot of success with the Red Sox. As I forget how to speak here, he's still available, and then Dallas Keuchel's still out there too.
The feeling out there is both of their stuff, the stuff that both of those guys have right now, isn't their value, what they're asking for on the market. That Kimbrough's velocity isn't what it once was, and his location isn't what it once was. Now, when I saw him in the postseason, man, he looked pretty tough to me when I saw Kimbrel play against the Dodgers, man, pitch against the Dodgers. So, yeah, I brought this up to when we had Alan on the other day. I said, Tim, I mean, if Jefferson's got to be down for any amount of time, what would be so bad going out there and getting Kimbrel? You know, Tim said, you know, I mean, there's only so much that Attanasio might want to spend at this point with their budget. But, yeah, I would think if you need another guy at the back end, even with Jeffers, man, I told you, I said, I think the bullpen, to me, I want to have as strong a bullpen as possible. And Kimbrel, man, having him, having that guy come out of your bullpen, even as an eighth inning guy, I would take him at a second or a closer, obviously a closer. But, geez, especially if Jeffers is going to miss some time.
You've reached the point on your salary cap or your payroll where you've already spent so much that to get cheap now would be counterproductive, because you've already you're shown you're willing to spend some money, right? You got Grandal on the 1 year deal, you got Moustakas back. So if you're able to, and I don't know if they would accept it, either Kimbrel or Keuchel, if you're able to say, hey, come on board for 15-20, and if they say yes, would the Brewers though do that? They've come so far. If you're going to buy the nicest thing, buy the nicest thing. Don't get cheap just a little bit before. If they're the one piece that can put you over the hump, wouldn't you go out and buy that thing?
But if you have maxed out your credit card already and you're looking and you're saying, man, I'm just barely paying off the credit card payments, and you ask for a credit increase and you put another $3,000 on your card or $4,000 or $5,000, man, isn't that just adding to your debt? And you're like, wow, now what am I going to do?
Well, if this Miller Park tax is going to sunset, which we'll talk about some tomorrow, should we just all agree to keep paying more on the sales tax? Should we do a Kimbrel tax? Should we put that through the law books?
I mean, when you look at it,
0.01% on sales tax for Craig Kimbrel.
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, all the money that they have coming through Miller Park, you would think, God, they should have enough money to spend, because you keep hearing the small market. And if they're drawing 3 million fans in, it's like, God, where's this money going to? Where's all this money going to, man? I mean, do they got to be on?
Well, they just blew $60 million down at spring training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're there for 1 month of the year.
Yeah, where they're one month of the year in a dumpy area. I wasn't a big fan of that move. I'm telling you. Might as well just build a new facility somewhere else where it's nice.
I'm getting real sick and tired of everyone talking about the weather in Arizona, too, by the way.
It's been horrible.
Nobody cares, though.
It's been horrible. They can't get some of these games in, though.
That's fine.
Had a rain out the other day. When do you ever get a rain out in Scottsdale?
Weather's weird.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's cold when it should be warm and vice versa. Now, that's called climate change, but nobody around here wants to talk about it.
That was called El Nino.
El Nino, sure. El Nino.
They call it El Nino in Lamira.
It's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. I think you've said that before, but I laugh every time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.